Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe. Welcome to Believe in the Ivy League, a look inside the ancient eight teams in the Ivy League and their upcoming games with all of the stats, trends, and analysis that you want to hear. And now, here's your host, Tom Barton.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Believe in the Ivy League. I am Tom Barton, and what an awesome week we had in Ivy League football, Ivy League basketball as well. Some really good games. We will get into that. Looking ahead, we have the game this week. Yeah, everybody's focused on that. A lot of good college basketball games coming up as well. So we will get into everything. Guys, I'm Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Go check me out over there. I am red hot at TomBartonSports.com, by the way. I do the Believe Best Bets podcast, and I am 8-1 overall for the last 5 weeks giving out free plays overall. And this is just, look, I don't promote it often on this channel, but if you want to go check that out, I've also have not lost in the NFL in 5 weeks. So 5-0 in the NFL. So go check that out. Also go check me out on YouTube. It's Tom Barton Sports over on YouTube. And you guys could go check out all the other stuff that we do here for Believe as well. All right. Look, you want to get in touch with me? It's Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter. Let's go right into it. Let's start with a little football here. And we'll start. Harvard and Penn was a really good game that swung, I guess, the complexion of this league, right? The complexion of the conference. We all knew that Penn was in this fight. They did have one loss, but we knew that they were in the fight. We knew that what they needed, what Penn really needed, was Princeton to go down to Yale. And then they would have the one loss. They'd have a shot. It was all kind of staring at, okay, what can Penn do? Penn was at home against a Harvard team that had already had two losses in the Ivies, and they needed kind of a miracle to get back into this thing. Harvard has not been playing well. Their defense has just not been playing well. Their offense has been playing okay. And Harvard goes out and puts up 37 on Penn, a Penn defense that we have watched absolutely squash teams this year. A Penn defense that had given up, you know, a couple more points than we thought after their great start over the course of the year. Over the course of the year, look, you know, we're talking about a Penn defense that gave up 14, 0, 17, 28 to Georgetown, but they put up 59, 14 to Columbia, 13 to Yale. And then they put up 34 to Brown in a weird game, 21 to Cornell, and 37 to Harvard all of a sudden. But the more surprising thing is that the Harvard defense actually looks good finally. They held Penn to just 14 points. A Harvard defense really changing the complexion. They go in to Franklin Field, and they get the win here. You look at Dean having a huge day. We talk about the running game all the time, and 117 on the ground is nothing to scoff at, right? But Dean, 316, 29 and 38 for four touchdowns. They just lit it up in the air, and Harvard goes to 4-2 in the Ivies and sends Penn to 4-2 in the Ivies. Columbia Brown, that game goes into overtime. I told you, you know, Columbia, a good little team here, and they're having a nice little season, and all of a sudden that nice little season turns into, whoa, wait a minute. No, this is a real player. 31-24 on the road. It takes overtime, but they get the win here for Columbia. Three touchdowns from Bell. Look at the 226 and the 18-33. Not great, but he got done when it needed to be done. I told you I worried about Cornell. I told you what Cornell could bring to the table. They beat up Dartmouth and just send Dartmouth into it. Look, I don't want to pile on. Dartmouth's year is just miserable. I mean, it's just a miserable year. That's all you could say about it. They lose 17-13. Dartmouth is 1-5 in the Ivies, and Cornell gets to 2-4. And then the game of the week, everybody in the Ivies were staring at Yale and rooting for Yale, ironically, because you needed Yale to beat Princeton, who was undefeated. What a good game this was. This was a scoreless first, nothing, battle of the defenses in a game where I think we thought that the offenses were really going to play well, in a game where this is an offensive-laden game. Princeton then gets on top at the half. It's 14-7. You go, okay, same old Princeton team. Here you go. Yale came out of the locker room. Bam! 17-0 third quarter. And that's all that she wrote at that point. Six more points for Princeton in the fourth. And that was it. 24-20. Yale wins. They go to 7-2 on the year, 5-1 in the Ivies. Princeton's now 8-1 on the year, 5-1 in the Ivies. You want to talk about good quarterback play? Look, Stenstrom looked good, 367 and 3 touchdowns, right? I mean, you go out there and you say, yeah, but Grooms, 20 carries, 152 and a touchdown, was able to put it away late. It's the adjustments that came at halftime that really mean everything here. And right now, Yale and Princeton, 5-1 in the Ivies, 5-1 in the Ivies, 4-2, 4-2 for Harvard and Penn coming up just short there. So we now fast forward to this week, right? We fast forward to the week of weeks. Now, Brown's going to take on Dartmouth. It's a chance here for both of these teams are 1-5. It's a chance to kind of just, you know, end your season with a good showing. I don't know how much more I could say about Dartmouth. They're supposed to win the league. They just look bad all year long. It's your last game. It's a home game. It's a senior game. Go out with a win. I think that they are the better team. I don't know emotionally or headspace-wise what they're even thinking. I don't even know. I mean, Brown is a dangerous team, I guess, right? Wilcox is a good player, but I expect Howard and Dartmouth to carry the day here. You then go to Cornell, Columbia. Like I said, Columbia's on a roll. Columbia at home. Columbia wants to end this thing with a nice three-game winning streak at Harvard, at Brown, and now against Cornell. You almost can't let up now. Columbia's had a good year, 5-4. You don't want to finish 5-5, first of all. You don't want to do that. 6-4 year and 3-4 in the Ivies is a good year, but Cornell is dangerous. We talk about Wang every week and how dangerous he is, and Wang is a good, dangerous quarterback, the dual threat guy. So, I I'm siding with the home team because I think that they have to, right? I mean, I think that they have to go there. Then we have Harvard-Yale, the game. And I didn't save this for last only because now all of a sudden there's a bigger game. But Harvard and Yale are here. It's in Cambridge. I've already got the notifications and the emails about the parking situation, how crazy it's going to be. I have already gotten all it, right? Harvard-Yale, the game is going to be fantastic. I've been a couple of times. I was on a streak there where right before the pandemic where I just wasn't missing the game. I'm not going this year, unfortunately. My kids' activities are kind of taking precedent over that, of course. So I'm not going this year, but look, I do see the allure, and it's good that both of these teams are good this year. In a scenario like this, can Harvard beat Yale, and then have Princeton lose as well, and kind of everybody finishes 5-2? That would be sort of cool, I guess. I don't know. Look, I think Harvard's playing really well. I don't know about the emotional letdown of Yale. I tend to think that there will be an emotional letdown here by Yale. I tend to think there almost has to be an emotional letdown here by Yale. You go in, you come so close, to the championship, and I know it's the game, and that's the only thing that's keeping it. I know it's Harvard, and I know it's on the road. You got to think that favors Yale from a letdown standpoint. It's going to be a little bit. I mean, you're going up against an undefeated team in Princeton, and the way that you won last week, the way that you came out of that locker room in the second half, it's going to be a little bit, right? I mean, it's just got to be a little bit of a down, but it's Harvard. Yeah, I mean, how can you really let up in this game? So I think it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic game, a great watch for everybody. Then you have Penn-Princeton, and here it is. The rest of the Ivy League is watching this game. Penn had a bad game. Maybe they were looking ahead. Maybe they were looking past Harvard at home. They couldn't do anything. And now Penn, over the last 3 weeks, their defense just doesn't look good all of a sudden. All of a sudden, this Penn defense that we were able to count on all year long has just not looked good over the last 3 weeks. I think Princeton's going to be angry. I think Princeton knows that they have the Ivy League title, at least a share of the Ivy League title, in their hand here. They could finish at 6-1 at home. I think Princeton's offense is just going to be too much for this one. This is one of those games where you look at it and you have to look at the recent play. And the recent play just sits back and screams out that it has to be the Princeton offense just absolutely dominating here. I mean, that's what it just almost has to be that way. All right, let's flip it over to the basketball side of things. And, we go back to we're in the beginning stages, I guess, of the year, right? And we're in the beginning stages of what we're all looking at. And it's hard to kind of take a lot away from some of these games, but some of them there are. Look, Cornell beating SUNY Delhi last week. UMass just destroying Columbia in a game that I knew. Look, UMass is a good team this year. UMass is going to battle with Vermont for that title. And this was just a bad spot for Columbia. Colgate over Brown. Ivy League's had a tough Thursday. Going into Friday, Louisiana beat Harvard. Okay, I'm not going to get too mad about that. Bryant's another good team. Bryant's a good team beating up on Dartmouth. Missouri beat Penn. Nobody expected Penn to win that game. They played well, though. Navy beating Princeton hurts, and Princeton not looking good out of the gates. And then Yale beat Eastern Washington. Okay. Going into Saturday, Dartmouth beating up Massachusetts College by 55 points. Harvard then beat up on Elon. That's a good game because they scored 92. Harvard, Nelson, 23 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists. That's a good game because Evan Nelson is becoming the scorer. I know that Elon doesn't have a great defense. They're not a superior team, but putting up 92 is putting up 92. Columbia dropped a tough one against Sacred Heart because they just have no defense. Townsend beat up on Penn. Loyola Maryland beat up on Brown. And Yale continues to move on and got a 29-point win against Mississippi Valley State. Against Mississippi Valley State, who cares, right? It doesn't really matter. But Noling, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and Yale put up 80. And Yale's starting to kind of cruise here a little bit. And Yale starting to look good. Princeton beats up. By the way, Princeton was a 3-point favorite on the road against UMBC. And I think we all saw that Princeton was a better team. Not only did they won by 30 on the road. This is a really good game for Princeton. Cornell beat St. Francis. And Yale comes back in an absolute, just awesome, awesome game. Yale beats Hawaii until the wee hours. I was up until about 2 a.m. in that game in Yale. They had the lead most of, Hawaii had the lead most of the game, and then Yale switched it up. It was a first half where they couldn't get anything going. It was 18-17, Hawaii, going into the half. And then the second half, they exploded. Yale would not, look, Hawaii came out at the half. And you think for an underdog team, Yale was getting 4.5. Hawaii was given 4.5 points. You think for an underdog team, like Yale on the road, they had the lead and Hawaii hit a late shot, boom, to send it into overtime. That's an emotional letdown usually. Then Hawaii comes out, they hit a 3 immediately, another 2, they were up 5 points in overtime, and you're going, okay, it's over. Yale, good game, but it's over. No, they fought back, battled back, absolutely great game, and you really just got to tip your hat to Yale. So moving on through the rest of the week here, is there any big games? Harvard Northeastern's always a fun game, but it's not a big game. You do need to start kind of getting these wins, even if they are away. Brown takes on Stony Brook. Again, not a big game, but Stony Brook's always a pretty quality program. Columbia takes on a tough Maine team. Maine went in against Boston College as a 20.5-point underdog and won the game outright. So don't overlook this Maine team here. Cornell, Ithaca. Penn takes on West Virginia in a game that, look, you can't expect a win there. Going into Saturday, Princeton takes on Marist. You want to see Princeton start kind of moving up and start to get things going. Harvard takes on Siena, a good Siena team. Columbia, SUNY Maritime, Yale's 4-0. They take on John Jay College. So they're going to be 5-0 more than likely the next time that we talk. It looks like Yale's going to be 5-0. And Yale is kind of starting to stand out as the class of this conference, which I think a lot of people kind of assume. It's very, very early, but that's what it's looking like right now. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the college football week. It's going to be the last one. Then we're going to turn it over to really all basketball talk all the time on this show. Hope everybody enjoyed. If you want to contact me, it's Tom Barton Sports over on gmail.com, Tom Barton Sports on Twitter. And please go check me out at tombartonsports.com. Have a very good week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.